Hey, everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, let's talk trades because that's what's on everybody's mind as December 15th rolls around. Is it Russell Westbrook? Is it Patrick Beverley and Kendrick Nunn? What could the Lakers get? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Always free, never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to join a great Lakers community. Lots of back and forth between viewers and each other, viewers and us. We try to use comments on the show when we can, respond to them as much as we can, and we appreciate all the support everybody's been giving that channel. Now we're chasing 10,000 subscribers, Andy. So we're going to talk a lot about trades because as we get into next week, that magical December 15th mark where even more players across the NBA, anybody who signed a contract last offseason is eligible to be traded. Players like Patrick Beverley, just to name a person, Andy, just out of a hat.
Yeah, well, I mean, the combination of Patrick Beverley having not played particularly well with the Lakers, plus the way their salary structure is currently messily created, they basically have either the gargantuan Russ, the mid-size Patrick Beverley, or a bunch of like smart cars with Kendrick Nunn or Lonnie Walker or all the mid-level, veterans minimum guys.
If Kendrick is a smart car, then the other guys are like unicycles. It's like one wheel. So we'll get into some of the scenarios about what could happen going forward, what trades aren't likely, and what the Lakers might be able to bring back. We'll get to that. I do want to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has covered the season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Little housekeeping as the Lakers visit Philadelphia tonight. It is the fifth game in the sixth game road trip. The Lakers are 2-2. Looks like they have a much better chance of being 3-2 after this one. Anthony Davis and LeBron James both listed as probable for this game, so obviously very likely to play. Patrick Beverley is not even on the report, has no designation. So the only two guys, Andy, missing for the Lakers are going to be JTA, Juan Toscano-Anderson with the ankle, and Wenyen Gabriel. So obviously huge news to have LeBron and AD back.
Yeah, I mean, for what the Lakers are looking to accomplish with this road trip, and we talked about before, you know, they were in a position regardless to go 3-3, and 3-3 would have been pretty solid, but any opportunity to possibly get yourself that much closer to 500, but I think even more importantly, validate what you've done over the last few weeks, and a win over Philadelphia would absolutely go a long way towards that. Because, you know, if you want to be glass half empty about this or be a skeptic or whatever, you would say that Milwaukee, notwithstanding, they don't have a lot of wins, or some might even say any wins against high-end competition. You beat Philadelphia, that's a pretty big win their house. Yeah, absolutely. In Philadelphia, that's big.
And to have AD back, given how he has been playing and given what he's been doing, but also just given this particular matchup. Like, we saw what he did matched up against Giannis, which is obviously a super high profile, you know, big versus big, you know, in theory, are these two of the best bigs in the NBA kind of matchups. He went for 44-10 with 44-10 with four assists and three blocks against Milwaukee at the beginning of the trip, 18 of 27 from the floor. People probably remember there weren't that many highlights for the Lakers and Anthony Davis last season, but matched up against Joel Embiid, he outplayed him. When the Lakers went to Philadelphia in that game, which was forget exactly when in about midseason in Philly, AD went for 31 and 12 with four blocks, 14 of 21 from the floor. And so the Lakers didn't win that game, but Davis really went either toe to toe, or you could say outplayed Embiid in that game. And
it was at worst a draw.
Right. He and this was without a lot of support. So, like, you know, the Lakers were short LeBron in that game. And, you know, for Davis to go out and do that required a lot of effort. It seems to me, Andy, like he sees something in these matchups, particularly now. And so there's a really good chance that, you know, the momentum continues and Anthony Davis goes out with a little something to prove. He did it against Giannis. Now he's going to go ahead and, you know, hopefully do that against Joel Embiid.
Well, in the meantime, too, getting to the whole trade conversations that we're going to be having, what the Lakers do in this game against Philadelphia, what they do against Detroit, and whatever games, I think Boston on Tuesday, that they have before the trade deadline, all of those games will in some way impact the decisions that they make to make a trade, whether they look to go, you know, as we talked about before, like the Hummer size versus mid-size versus whatever. Like, all of these things will be impacted by the record and the way they're playing for a bunch of different reasons.
Particularly against good teams. Like, you know, if you're only beating bad teams consistently, and, like, you know, you're looking at it and you're the Lakers front office, you say to yourself, okay, you know, the way we are right now, are we really only capable of beating the bottom half of the league? Because that makes a difference. Because, you know, you can fight to get to the playoffs, but definitionally what you find when you get there, Andy, are playoff teams. And so, you know, you got to be able to beat the good ones. It was, I think, you know, it's important, you know, to see too where AD is. This is sort of an aside before we move on to the trade stuff. I asked on Spectrum. Did Spectrum on Thursday night, and one of the things they wanted me to we talked about wanted me to get into was who are the three best bigs in the league, and I said in kind of no particular order because the margins between these guys are really, really thin this year. Statistically, all three of these guys are kind of insane. I went Embiid 3, Jokic 2, Giannis 1. And Davis kind of circling.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Because, and look, I knew why they were asking me the question. And what I was trying to do, Andy, was motivate Anthony Davis. Because he'll see that and be like, hey, Brian Kamenetsky didn't put me in that group. And the reason I did it, the reason I went the way I did, again, all of these guys are playing. I mean, go look up Joel Embiid's numbers. They're insane. Jokic, 2-time MVP. And Giannis is Giannis. Like, we've seen what he's been doing. I think he's probably the front runner for MVP right now. AD's performance over the last, you know, whatever it is, 2.5 weeks, is as good, if not better, than all of them. But there's a consistency factor to that where these guys have been there doing it for at a higher level than AD has over the last, you know, even for this, for the entire season. We did spend some time talking about how AD is kind of not bringing it enough. I think he cares about this stuff, not me specifically excluding him from these groups or not being talked about in these groups. But I think we've reached a point where Davis has internalized and cares that he is seen as good as Dave, as Embiid, as good as Jokic, as good as Giannis, if not better than all of them. That's the impression I've been getting.
It could be accurate. I mean, to be totally honest, AD is a fairly inward personality. So sometimes it can be difficult to read exactly what motivates him. And unlike some guys in the league, he's not particularly online. Like, he's not somebody that, you know, posts some rise and grind tweet or, you know,
if he's Instagram online, it's to sell some chips.
Yeah. No. He's out there hawking ruffles. My thing is, honestly, I don't necessarily care what's motivating him. I don't care why he's in this space other than he's in it. And is he able to maintain it? Whatever is bringing it on, like a sense of urgency, tired of hearing the BS from the people, you know, like the talking heads and the echo chamber on social media, you know, whether he's already thinking about his next contract. I don't care what it is. Like, as long as whatever that is motivating him as a force is both serious and sustainable, doesn't it could be his wife getting on him that she's not impressed. his kids getting on him that they're not impressed, even though they're like infants. I don't care.
I agree with you, but I do think these matchups, these little things, this talk of him being, almost expendable, like the Lakers need to give up on the project, that he's just clearly fallen off relative to these other players, has gotten to him a little bit in a good way. So we'll see what happens Friday night. It is, just as a side note, in the same way it was AD versus Giannis, it is incredible fun watching human beings as large as Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis do stuff. So I always look forward to these matchups. Andy, we have some very interesting potential trade concepts to talk about. And it starts with Russell Westbrook, who may have changed the conversation a little bit about what the Lakers ought to be doing with him going forward. So we'll get to that next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Masterclass. If you're looking to learn new skills, but you don't know where to start, it's simple. Masterclass. With Masterclass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. You can learn to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, or learn cooking from Gordon Ramsay. Over 180 classes from a range of world-class instructors. The thing that you've always wanted to do, it's closer than you think. And Masterclass is accessible from your phone, web, smart TV. They're offering classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class instructors at the top of their fields. Each class is broken out into individual video sessions, usually around 10 minutes long. They're digestible. Members can explore at their own pace. Each class supported by downloadable materials, class guides, recipes, or more. And an annual membership starts at $180 a year. This holiday, give one annual membership and get another one for free. So go to masterclass.com/lockedon today. That's masterclass.com/lockedon. Terms apply.
Every new potential hire, it can feel like a high stakes wager for your small business. And you want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best and most qualified candidates that are out there. And that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs help you find the right people for your team faster and free. So you go, you add your job to the purple hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile, spread the word that you're hiring. These are simple tools, screening questions to make it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. And it's why small businesses rate LinkedIn jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So go to LinkedIn Jobs. It's where you find the most qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. It has always been assumed, Andy, that Russell Westbrook was gonna be out the door. This is the conversation from the beginning of the summer, for people who weren't us, waving our arms around saying he may not get traded. And oh, by the way, he might be here all year. But we were relative loners.
Yes, we were.
Opinion.
Yes.
Correct.
We
as we often are, but we were not a lot of people with us on this one.
Nope.
With Russell Westbrook playing well, the context around this, just one reason the context around Westbrook has changed. It used to be assumed that the Lakers would be giving up nothing. It would be addition by subtraction if they were to trade Westbrook.
Another theory you and I simply did not buy into.
Well, it could be, but it didn't have to be. They at least had to find out. But they weren't talented enough to just assume that it was going to be addition by subtraction. You can criticize aspects of his play, and he's not a $47 million guy, blah, blah, blah. Westbrook is making positive contributions to this team as a sixth man. I think people would agree with that statement to whatever degree. How did, in your mind, does that change just the context from the Lakers' equation of both what you think you could get for him, but more importantly, what you give up if you trade him? Because now there is, something that you lose if you don't have Westbrook on the team anymore.
Yeah. I mean, as far as what who you could get for Russ, I think the basic parameters are the same as always. Heald and Turner, if that ever shakes loose as a possibility. Disgruntled star X that the Lakers are always waiting to just all of a sudden become available and demand that they go to the Lakers. And only
everyone's
the Lakers.
Gruntled right now, Andy, but they will eventually become disgruntled.
Yeah, Bradley Beal's ears are burning as we speak because, you know, he can force his way to the Lakers because he's got a no trade clause. So perfect. You're just paying that guy $56 million in the last year of his salary, but I digress.
You made a joke to me the other day on text that last year is in like 2048. So it goes on forever.
It goes on a while. Or I guess, you know, half of the Hornets together. I mean, like basically we know what these are in terms of the possibilities, however real you think they are for Russ. But as far as Russ's own utility and why you wouldn't move him, there's a couple things. First of all, I think this team operates best at pace, and nobody on this team is better at getting them to play faster than Russ, period. Like, no, when it's not an accident that they start playing faster as a whole from the moment Russ comes in the game. And even I think LeBron starts becoming more amenable towards playing fast because as incredible as LeBron has always been on the break, he's not somebody that likes to push pace all the time. Russ does.
And he's an old person now. And well, yeah, but even people don't like running fast.
But man, even LeBron in his prime, that wasn't what he looked to do.
No, he's a much more of a slowdown kind of guy.
Right. It's just never been his thing. But also, too, Russ's resurgence, it hasn't been just about Russ. I think in a lot of ways, it's about AD. Like, I looked up some numbers before this show. AD averages more field goal attempts and made field goals off Russ assists than any other Laker. He's averaging 57.8% on assists from Russ, 54% from LeBron. And obviously, it's still good from LeBron, but the best is from Russ, and the most assists are coming from Russ. And even acknowledging that assist attempts that lead to like a foul and a free throw aren't included here, it still just underscores how much AD thrives with Russ. And while the field goal percentages weren't as good last season, because everything was worse last season, he still was better as a field goal percentage off assists from Russ than LeBron. And he had way, way more field goal attempts off assists from AD, period. It was like a discrepancy of like 7 versus 2.5. Yeah. So say what you will about Russ as a fit, and a lot of those criticisms are accurate, he has always look to get AD involved.
Well, he's like the moment Russ has always been. Yeah, Russ has always been really good at setting up bigs and working with bigs. And because Anthony Davis is playing closer to the basket this year, AD is, I think, taking advantage of the ability to, you know, kind of rim run with Westbrook there. I mean, to your point, Westbrook has the highest pace number for anybody on the team who plays more than, you know, who's a regular in the rotation. Yeah. Of all those guys, he is far and away the highest on the team, and certainly much higher than both LeBron and AD. So yeah, you're right. Like, he does get them going. You would have to replace at least some of what Westbrook is bringing. You'd have to, you know, find another sort of structure to six man and all that. And some of it would be dictated by what you brought in. If you bring in Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, kind of naturally slots one more guy to the bench, and you know, you can play Dennis Schroeder there. You could have Austin Reeves be your sixth man. Like, you could come up with a perfectly credible rotation, but the idea that you're not sacrificing something if Westbrook goes is no longer true. It's potentially replaceable, but it's still something that Lakers have to consider, which is different than many people thought it was going to be. The other thing that I think is changed is the NBA is not totally cooperating with the idea of trading Westbrook and his $47 million. Like, I feel like it is much more likely, at least in the short term, that it is a Charlotte deal, something where the Hornets could get off, you know, contract figures that they have in exchange for Westbrook, or give you more useful players if you give up those picks. But like, Indiana continues to play well, and the way the lottery odds are working, they're probably already out of the contention to get the good number on Wembanyama, or even Scoot. Like, if they're interested in that, like, they're like still middle of the playoff run in the Eastern Conference. That's too good. and you can't lose enough.
Particularly for their owner, Herb Simon, who just
never wanted to do it.
No, but on mathematics, doesn't do it.
Right. So, like, there may come a time where Indiana starts to tail off and maybe a couple guys get hurt or whatever. But Halliburton is an all-star, so he's playing at that level. You know, Turner's playing very well. They don't have any reason yet to think that they can't make the playoffs. And meanwhile, are you going to start trying to tank and whatever so you can get, you know, a 10.5% chance at Wembanyama instead of an 8.5%? Like, that's just not a smart way to run a team. And so
particularly if you're turning down potential playoff revenue in the process,
playoff revenue, playoff experience, playoff, like for a young team to be ahead of where they are. Same thing in Utah. It's like they might fall out of the playoff race, but they're not going to be able to catch Houston, so to speak, or catch Orlando to be bad enough to give themselves those really good odds for Wembanyama. So I think that points to December 15th and Patrick Beverley and what the Lakers might be able to get for them. You know, Beverley and Kendrick Nunn, Beverley by himself, whatever it might be. You've done a little legwork on that to see what might be out there for the Lakers in terms of trade targets. So let's talk trades next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net, your number one source for sports betting, info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional amateur league out there, from football to basketball, soccer, and esports. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. And because you obviously love sports podcasts, you are listening to one as we speak, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They got content over at BetOnline.net. Always the fastest, easiest way to get your betting fix. So head to the website today or use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. Bet online where the game starts.
So Patrick Beverley and Kendrick Nunn are not players, Andy, that you would acquire because you think they can help you win games. They're players you acquire because their contracts are expiring and the two of them together can get you near about $20 million off your books. What in your mind would be out there for the Lakers were they to make those guys available? And by the way, they're available. Spoiler alert.
First of all, would you like to start with the $20 million-ish combo platter or the $13 million-ish solo platter?
Let's just give me, I go with your heart is what I would say, but I think this is really important to understand because there are, you know, different combinations. If you want somebody who can help you this year, you're Rob Pelinka, you want somebody who can help you this year, but you don't want to eat into your cap space. Now you're giving up those guys and probably will have to give up picks as well.
The other
option, if you want to keep those picks, is to take players that cost you money next year, that have a contract that goes beyond this season, something Rob Pelinka has been reluctant to do, which is why Lonnie Walker might be playing somewhere else next year. But I digress. I think, you know, go with whatever you want, but that sort of sets the scene here. This is what the, you know, sort of the option tree that the Lakers have.
Okay. To begin, just so people know, I'm leaving out people who either make no sense, position wise, or, you know, like Mitchell Robinson, for example, if the, you know, the Knicks are just, as always, in a state of disarray, or I'm leaving out guys like KCP or Brooke Lopez, Josh Hart, Harrison Barnes, Joe Harris for the time being, with the Nets suddenly back in the playoff mix, that clearly are not getting moved by their teams. And really, I'm not even focusing on quality of player necessarily, because I think we know the type of player that is both needed and, you know, that the Lakers would target. I'm just thinking about who could be realistically available, other than one guy who's a fun thought experiment. If we don't get to him in this show, we'll get to him next week.
Yeah. So I will say, I'm glad you made that caveat, because, like, I'm sorry, Lakers fans, if you offer the Blazers those two guys and a first round pick for Josh Hart, probably going to say no. If you offer them two first round picks plus those guys for Josh Hart, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
But so, for the time, like, you can't thread this needle. These are teams that are still playing competitive ball.
Right. And, you know, we love Josh. I'd love for him to be back on the Lakers, but he's not worth two first round picks. He's not that good. We'll start with the combo platter, 20-ish million, give or take. Bojan Bogdanović, who has some long-term money. It's only partially guaranteed by a certain date for the 2024-2025 season, like $2 million or so guaranteed by late June. But with Bojan Bogdanović with the Pistons, you would be taking on longer term money. Theoretically, though, a guy that maybe you can get without giving up a pick. I don't know, or without giving up a first. Probably have to give up a second.
I still think Bogdanović is going to cost you a first. I think Detroit will move him this year because the Pistons are one of the three teams that is bad enough to make a play for Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson. And I think Bogdanović, as well as he has played for them, is going to cost the team that acquires him a first rounder.
Probably accurate.
I'd be surprised if it didn't happen that way.
Evan Fournier with the Knicks, 17 mil-ish. He has long-term money. 2025 is a team option, but theoretically you could get, or I would say should get, Evan Fournier without a pick involved. Maybe you're not excited, Brian, by this, but he could be the only way to get Cam Reddish.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different show, but someone's going to need to explain the Rob Pelinka fetishization of Cam Reddish.
See,
don't get it.
I don't actually, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole because, like you said, it's a different show. I don't actually think this is so much a Rob Pelinka fetishizing Cam Reddish as it is people assuming he would end up targeting Reddish because Reddish is a clutch client.
Maybe.
The
Lakers wanted to draft Reddish and the Lakers have been after Reddish. Like, I mean, they can't have been after him that hard because Cam Reddish sucks. Right. He's not been that hard to acquire. But, you know, it's, That's stepping in. Now, I will say Fournier, whether with or without Reddish, not only are the Lakers not giving up a pick, you actually can try to get draft capital back from the Knicks if you make that trade for taking, what is it, two more years of Evan Fournier off their books.
Well, one guaranteed. You might, right. I suppose you could keep the second year if you wanted a tradable asset because the Lakers have so few. Like if you wanted him as an expiring.
Literally a salary slot.
Right, exactly, which the Lakers never have, and those things we've learned can be useful. Eric Gordon, who's 2023-2024, is not guaranteed. If I'm understanding this correctly, it's from what I saw on, I think, Sportico, per Woj and Bobby Marks, it becomes fully guaranteed if he makes an all-star team or 500 regular season minutes plus a Houston championship. I'm going to say it's not.
I mean, look, if you're explaining it correctly, all of those things sound avoidable.
Right. There's obviously some duplication involved with Eric Gordon, but you know, the Lakers are seemingly in the guarding up business and he's a yoked out dude. He's strong.
And you know, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily have to give up, but like gets into the incentive of,
I think you would have to give up a first. Otherwise, right, why is Houston doing it?
So people are like, you know, you don't have to pay the extra money, but because you don't have to pay the extra money into next year, Houston's going to be like, okay, fine. You got to give us something. And Gordon's still a productive player and other teams are going to want him as well.
Right.
So you certainly have to give up a pick for that.
Right. The difference is, of course, as we've discussed a lot over the last couple of years, other teams have more first round picks that they can afford to give up to take
or
a
young players or whatever it might right. be.
Devontae Graham having kind of an off year with the Pelicans, but he has been a scorer in the past. He's under contract for two more seasons at 12-ish per. So he's potentially a guy that you can give up without giving, or that you can get without giving up picks. Although I will say, if the Pelicans are willing to send him to the Lakers, given their stake in the Lakers pick this year, it's probably a sign you shouldn't make the deal.
anybody he's willing to trade you is somebody that you don't want. That is an interesting wrinkle. Would you accept trade terms from David Griffin at this point? Or would you probably think he's trying to con you? Yeah,
probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Terry Rozier, 21-ish million, but like Beverly, Nunn, and either JTA or Damian Jones would work. It's a long-ass deal. Ooh. Goes through 2026, keeps getting bigger.
You want to talk about a guy who cannot defend. Woof.
I mean, he can score.
He can score. But we're kind of past the point where we talk about the Lakers and not being able to score.
Right. But, I mean, I would not be excited about doing that. I will say this. If you can't get Terry Rozier without giving up a first, Genie needs to eat the money and fire Rob Pelinka. He sucks at his job if he can't do that.
Here's the thing. It's like, you know, and, you know, we have, you probably have a couple more names, but like I looked up for fun here, like if you save and you go in the cap space with whether you were the 30-ish million or whatever, like what kind of player might you be able to sign? Could you get a couple players? Like what would that look like? And there are some good guys. I went back and looked at last summer. The big number, the big name that signed and switched teams last year, and this does make a difference. Like when you switch teams, that can impact the salary structure, was Jalen Brunson, who's $26 million a year, 4 years, $104 million from the Knicks. Good player, not an all-star. Anthony Simons re-signed in Portland for $25 million a year. Good player, potentially could become an all-star, I guess, down the road, but he's not there yet. You start looking at less expensive guys. PJ Tucker was an $11 million signing this year to go to Philadelphia. Chris Boucher, who is kind of a role player in Toronto, is almost $12 million. Bobby Portis signed in Milwaukee for $12 million, but that's probably less than he could have gotten in the open market. Marvin Bagley stayed in Detroit for $12.5 million. Decent player, but not Tyus Jones, $14.5 million. So the point of all this is to note that $30 million, 20-something million dollars, whatever it turns out to be, depending on how the Lakers handle stuff, is a lot of money. And you can definitely sign players into that. But I don't think it's going to get the stars that Lakers fans might be hoping for.
Yeah, like this,
that's just not the salary. That's not the way the world works anymore. Like $20-something million gets you a nice player, but not an all-star.
Yeah. A few more names. You know, you could go Hield without Turner, Turner without Hield, you know, Josh Richardson, or looking at like Patrick Beverley by himself, $13 million-ish dollar deal. Dougie McBuckets in San Antonio, $13 million-ish. Got one more year. I'm definitely not giving up a first round pick for him by himself.
Hell no. You
know, Kelly Oubre, he's just Evan Fournier, but prettier. No. Terrence Ross.
Really good looking, though. I mean, like really good looking.
Yeah. Terrence Ross, perennially available, awful defender. I don't think he's a good use as a rental for a pick. He's expiring.
So let's kind of pocket this list because I want to get into it next week as we get closer and closer and really think about kind of what the options that the Lakers have look like and where realistically they can do stuff, which teams, which players, and all that, because there is an assumption the Lakers can just do things and they may not be able to. Is that mismanagement from Rob Pelinka for not pulling the trigger before the season starts? That's another topic that we can get into as we get into next week in that magic December 15th date on the calendar. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you can go to find the show. Again, early on non-game nights, especially. Thanks to everybody for your support there. And we'll see what happens. Philadelphia on Friday and the Pistons on Sunday.